And how is your love life?
Testing for HIV and receiving your results, using a family planning method of your choice, and getting
somebody help me.
Your actions have consequences. Don't drink and drive.
I listen to quite a bit of radio.
Listen to Galaxy. There is Super FM.
Radio in Uganda continues to carry many behavior change messages, from health advice to relationship guidance to educational campaigns. Stations all over Uganda air different forms of social and behavior change communication, commonly known as SBCC. My name is Emily Nahabwe, a journalism and communication student at Uganda Christian University. In this short audio project, I explore whether these radio messages have any influence on university students here at Uganda Christian University. SBCC simply refers to communication that is designed to promote positive behaviors. On radio, SBCC may appear as adverts, jingles, sponsored talk shows, or expert discussions on issues such as health, safety, relationships, or community well-being. For this research, I explore whether radio behavior change campaigns, especially those aired on NRG Radio, Next Radio, and Galaxy FM Zina, have any influence on students here at UCU. In the next section of this feature, you'll hear from students as they respond to a set of research questions about radio consumption, their awareness of SBCC messaging, and their perceptions of its relevance. I will also interview lecturers and communication practitioners who have experience with SBCC work to give professional context. I began by talking to UCU students from different schools and faculties, asking a simple question. Do you listen to radio?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I listen to radio.
Yes.
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 Which radio stations do you listen to most? If it's not part of these three that I'm going to mention, you can also mention it. NRG, Next Radio, Galaxy FM.
Sanyu FM.
XFM.
Bunyoro Broadcasting Services.
91.3 FM. Kiss FM.
I listen to more of Sanyu. I listen to... what is it called? XFM 94.8. I listen to KFM. I listen to Radio 1. Yeah. Once in a while, I listen to Next. Yeah.
Mm. Energy, Capital, and then Radio 1.
And XFM.
Although this study initially focused on three radio stations, students mentioned listening to a wide range of other stations, including Capital FM, Sanyu FM, XFM, and many others.
Have you ever heard of behavior change messages on any of these stations?
Yes, I have.
Which topics do you remember hearing about?
Safety tips, particularly about driving.
I listen to Capital FM. If you're talking about these things of mania, obulamu, HIV, AIDS, when they are making those kits of HIV, Ate Don't Drink and Drive. And also, there is actually, it's a whole show in the evening on Capital FM. There is a gentleman who is there, is talking about relationships. Those things of HIV, those guys have been talking about them a lot. Also, hepatitis these days, especially in the wing of health. They've also been talking about prostate cancer. Yes, cancer, that cancer for the men. They've been talking about it a lot recently. Then, of course, now that we are going in for election, the election thingy, they've been talking about those messages from the EC whereby they're like, hey, don't insult each other, don't cause people to fight, don't become tribalistic because of politics.
I remember hearing about health, and most particularly UTI. They were talking about how we get UTI, the causes, the treatment, and the prevention methods.
It was AIDS screening.
Relationship problems.
While most students reported listening to radio and could even recall some of the messages, not all of them felt the messages strongly affected their behavior.
Have any radio messages ever influenced something you thought or did, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, they have.
Yes, I want to go with yes.
Yes, there are a few things that I've heard from radio that have influenced something or taught me something.
No.
Well, not really.
Not really. They don't really influence me.
No, not at all.
These responses raise an important question. If students are hearing these messages but not always acting on them, what does that say about how radio behavior change campaigns are designed? To get a practitioner's perspective, I spoke to Joseph El Shaddai, who works in radio and has experience with communication and behavior change messaging.
So SBCC is simply about using communication to influence positive choices. It sometimes even goes beyond just giving information. It helps people think differently, feel differently, which actually leads them to act differently. And for young people, it's about messages that speak their language, guide them towards healthier and responsible decisions in life. The question about whether it's effective, I would say that yes, radio SBCC messages are still effective, especially in environments where radio is trusted and accessible. However, their effectiveness depends on how relatable and realistic the message is. Messages that feel forced or a bit, acted or scripted may fail, while those that sound real conversations tend to create enormous impact.
What features make a behavior change message resonate with young adults?
Those messages could be relatable and conversational, short and emotionally engaging, rooted in real student experience, delivered using familiar voices or even peers, focused on solutions rather than judgment. In my view, I think university students are exposed to a lot of information daily, so their attention span and message fatigue sometimes are a major challenge. There is also resistance to authority sounding messages. If you behave like you are giving authority, exercising authority, you're ordering. If a message feels, moralistic and disconnected from student realities, it's sometimes ignored.
Could you describe what radio stations do well or poorly in this area?
Radio stations do well in reaching wide audiences quickly and creating familiarity through repeated airing. However, sometimes it fails, sometimes they fail by using generic messages that don't reflect the specific struggles and maybe language of university students. And then what factors contribute to message credibility among youth? In my understanding and view, I think credibility comes from authentic voices. Authentic voices, consistency in messaging, use of real life examples, having trusted presenters or even influencers, in this space of media, someone has to be trusted. They should have actually lived the experience they are talking about. If someone is giving advice on something, it should be important that they have lived that, that course of life. If they are advising about marriage, they should be married, and their marriage is maybe, yielding fruit and stable.
What the practitioner describes reflects something that also came up repeatedly in my conversations with students. Many of the students I interviewed said that before taking a radio message seriously, they first ask whether the source is credible.
They spoke about trusting messages that come from recognized professionals, familiar presenters, or programs that consistently provide accurate information.
Radio behavior change messages that are evidence backed up are more believable for me as a person.
So if they give like relevant statistics?
So if it's a health thing, it should be a credible doctor that the society knows. If you're giving a health message to the people, then you bring a doctor that everyone knows in the community.
Credibility is key for me. Like, for example, the person talking and the topic they're talking about, like what evidence they bring and like the statistics, really. I don't really want to hear from someone with no medical experience or medical background telling me about my sexual health, you get, huh? Yeah.
In that sense, the views of the students and the practitioner point in the same direction. Credibility is not just a technical concern for campaign designers. It directly affects whether students choose to believe, ignore, or question a message. This doesn't mean that all credible messages lead to behavior change, but it does suggest that without credibility, radio messages struggle to even gain attention, let alone influence decisions.
So if you're talking about malaria, it would be more believable to me if you use a bit of stats and you're like, maybe according to the Ministry of Health survey that was concluded in maybe 2025 in May, I'm just saying, we found that maybe out of 10 deaths that happened, maybe for children below this age, maybe this much was caused by malaria. And then of course you go on to give us stats for the adults and the middle adults. So it would be more believable if I told they are evidence-based and like they use a bit of stats.
For this research, I reached out to 25 UCU students across different years and faculties of study. Out of these, 20 agreed to take part in the interviews, while others declined or said they did not listen to radio. I also spoke to a communication practitioner to help interpret the findings. What emerges from these conversations is not a strong sense of influence, but rather a careful filtering of messages. Most students say radio behavior change messages do not directly shape their behavior. Instead, they assess who is speaking, how credible the message is, and whether it feels relevant to their lives as university students. When I began this research, the question was whether radio behavior change campaigns influence students at UCU. By the end of it, the question had shifted. It became less about whether students hear these messages and more about why many choose not to act on them. This research does not suggest that radio has lost its place, but it does suggest that influence cannot be assumed. For behavior change messages to matter to students, credibility, relevance, and context appear to be just as important as reach. My name is Emily Nahabwe. This has been an academic audio research project from the Journalism and Communication Program at Uganda Christian University.